In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, September 25th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Roman Catholic Pope Francis addressed the United States Congress yesterday, instructing governments to be sure that the wealth of the world is equitably shared. He also called for more government intervention with, quote, environmental deterioration caused by human activity, unquote. Dr. Calvin Beisner from Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation said the Pope trusts too much in the sovereignty of man over creation and not enough in the sovereignty of God.
The Bible, frankly, doesn't say anything specifically, explicitly about global warming or climate change, but it does tell us that God is in control, that God designed the earth and the whole climate system in it, and that when he had made it, he said that it was very good. Now, we would, I think, reasonably infer from that that when an omniscient designer designs, we would expect that that climate system would probably be robust, resilient, and self-correcting.
The Iranian prison authorities continue to torture Pastor Saeed Abedini with tasers and beatings, according to recent reports. They are threatening additional charges against the American pastor, alleging that he has made statements against the government of Iran. The ACLJ reports that 265,000 Americans have now petitioned the United States Secretary General to intervene on Saeed's behalf. Remember those in chains. Another stampede of Islamic pilgrims at Mecca resulted in over 700 deaths on Thursday. This is nothing unusual for these annual pilgrimages in the Islamic world, always plagued by fires, stampedes, violence, and air crashes. We would do well to remember that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Psalm 96. China now has the technology to launch nuclear warheads on the United States. The Pentagon announced yesterday that China is rolling out its new submarine and JL-2 ballistic missiles capable of a 4,000-mile range. The communist nation is able to maintain continuous deterrent controls as part of its military defensive and offensive strategy. A Catholic church in Israel will be compensated by the government for damage sustained by Jewish youth. CBN News reports that the Israeli Attorney General has committed to restore $2 million in damages to the Church of the Multiplication of the Loaves and Fish. There's still a little Christian influence left in the Western world. A Christian woman, enslaved by Hindus in England, was freed by an employment tribunal. She was refused a Bible and given almost no pay for 6 years of work. The judge ordered the Hindu couple to pay the woman £184,000 in compensation. The Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell must pay $4 million to the family of a woman who was killed during an abortion he performed back in 2009. Karnamaya Monger died of a drug overdose administered by the abortionist. Gosnell is serving 2.5 to 5 years in prison for involuntary manslaughter for the same crime. His abortion mill was subjected to an investigation by a grand jury. The House of Horrors was described as covered with blood, the medical instruments unsterilized, and dismembered bodies of babies were found stored in jars. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. Psalm 55:23. The Association of Certified Biblical Counselors is sponsoring a first-ever conference on transgender issues next week. The evangelical group rejects the idea that a person's God-assigned gender can change. Speakers will include Dr. Albert Moeller from the Southern Baptist denomination. Australia does not want the American pop singer Chris Brown visiting their country. Brown pled guilty to felony assault after a brutal attack on his then-girlfriend Rihanna. Do not miss Sunday's spectacular lunar eclipse, which will also coincide with the supermoon. That means the moon will come into close proximity to the Earth, increasing its apparent size by 14%. The lunar event should be visible shortly after 9 p.m. Sunday night, Eastern Daylight Time. But you can be sure that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul, Psalm 121. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, September 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and Steve Vaughn's also in studio with me. Homeschool father of six. As we begin to talk about what's happening across this country, we deal with cultural issues because, one, as America is in a postmodern, post-Christian age, in which the Christian faith is dying out, there's no question. I hardly ever run into somebody who disagrees with that, on the right, on the left, whether Christian or non-Christian. They're agreeing with us and saying, yeah, you're right. This is post-Christian, and yes, homosexuality is king, and Christianity is not, and homosexuals will probably be persecuting Christians. Yeah, amen to that, amen to that. But we still love the public schools. The public schools are one of the most important sacred cows in the mind of just about every American, with maybe the exception of 3, 4, 5% of Americans that use Christian schools or homeschools. But you know what? It's such a sacred cow, Steve. It is the sacred cow of all sacred cows. And I can get into hot water when I critique the public schools. And there are very, very few pastors and churches that will stand up and issue any kind of a critique against the public schools. It's just the sacred cow. It is the sacred cow. It is what makes up the socialist state.
Right. And free public education.
Absolutely.
One of Marx's tenets of communism.
It's crucial. It's crucial for the modern secular state. And it is crucial for the modern secularist. It is essential. It is as important as Grandma Chevrolet and apple pie, or Ford for some of you like Ford. But it's such an important part of the American way of thinking and way of living. Now, it wasn't until about 1920 with John Dewey.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the sacred cow until John Dewey, until Karl Marx. But now it is a sacred cow. And boy, if you stand up and you say anything negative about the public schools in any kind of a normal audience, that is a church audience, I don't care what kind of a church, for the most part. Again, there are exceptions to the rules, but you're gonna receive a fair amount of flack if you take on this sacred cow. And so I'm, of course, surprised that Charisma News has an article on the public schools and what's happening in the public schools this school year. Now, these brave new schools become even more brave with each successive year, and the temperature becomes hotter and hotter in this little pan in which all the frogs are still sort of hanging out. We're up to about 211 degrees, but not very many people are paying much attention to it. When prayer went out of the schools, and the Supreme Court in the United States says it is against the law to fear God, to praise God, to worship God, to pray to God, to give God any credit whatsoever in the chemistry classroom or the biology class. When the Supreme Court in the United States said that in 1960s, most everybody says, okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Okay. Because the sacred cow is the sacred cow. You're not going to do anything about that. So that was the 1960s. By the time you get to the early 1980s, you get a few Christian schools and maybe a couple of hundred, couple thousand homeschoolers. But that's 0.00001% of the population. But then you move on, and eventually these brave new schools take up safe sex ideology. Then same sex ideology that took over in the 1990s, and now it's commonplace for pro-homosexual ideology to be in just about every school, every conservative school in K-6 schools throughout Douglas County, the conservative counties in the state of Colorado. But parents are still A-OK with this for the most part. You really hear very, very little pushback against the pro-homosexual, pro-secular ideologies taught in the public schools today. You almost get none of it. And if somebody ever says anything that's somewhat negative against the public schools and their godlessness, their refusal to fear God, to worship God, and praise God in the public school classrooms, you will be the pariah of pariahs. And that's one reason why I'm so careful with what I say about public schools
on this program.
Yeah, and it seems like it's not that it's a separation of church and state. It's a separation of Christianity and state, because the public schools are teaching Islam, they're teaching witchcraft, they're teaching all kinds of other religions and making them of equal value to actually more value than Christianity. It's that you can't praise God, that the God of the Bible, but boy, you can praise Allah and you can, Krishna and Vishnu and all of those others. You can, I mean, some teachers are teaching different spells to cast, and having as a writing assignment to cast a spell against one of your enemies.
Well, here's an example. Again, the article from Charisma Magazine brings out many, many, many examples of the kinds of things going on. So if some of you want to pull your heads out of the sand, if some of you want to get out of the pot of water that's 211 degrees Fahrenheit and begin asking yourself, okay, where are we exactly this school year? Here's a good article from Charisma Magazine. It's called "Schools Now Pushing Soft Porn for Tweens and Islam for All Kids." Pulls in the Common Core curriculum and its emphasis on teaching Islam. Yet no Bible or prayers allowed, but learning to pray in the direction of Mecca is. Children can't say or write the name of Jesus or talk about God, but they're taught the five pillars of Islam in addition to over 120 pages on Islam in the seventh grade alone. That's a lot. That's a lot of coverage on Islam. And that's, of course, because of the polytheism emphasized by Common Core. Now, this wasn't happening in 2012. This wasn't happening in 2010, in 2009, 1995, 1985, 1975, 1965. This is what's going on this year. This is where we are now. Okay, so for those of you who are still thinking, you know, I want to raise my kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, I want to begin with a fear of the living God as the beginning of knowledge and wisdom in the education of my kids. If you're asking those questions, And standing on those principles, friends, this kind of education, it's just not going to be for you. This is Common Core, though. This is for the schools that follow Common Core. Again, as we talk about public schools, we have to say there are some exceptions to the rule, because this is always mentioned. There are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions to the rule. There's exceptions to the rule. And okay, there are exceptions to the rule. I'm okay with that. I'm not saying sending your kids to a public school is a sin. Not let me say. I've never said that, and I'm not going to say that. However, it could be. It could be. It might be a sin. I'm not saying it is, my elements say, but I'm saying it might be. So just simply ask yourself, do I want to give my children a raising in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, per Ephesians 6:4? And now, of course, you as parents must make your individual decision as to what's the best way to bring that about. Now, you're challenged to do that by the Apostle Paul, and you're challenged to do it by myself and Steve in studio right now. Well, here are some of the things that are going on. Sex education: minors are taught the benefits of non-traditional sex beginning now in the fifth grade, to the normalcy of their own sexual fluidity in the seventh grade and higher. Now, additionally, the U.S. Department of Education no longer defines parents as mothers or fathers, but now parent one, parent two on student aid forms. In New York City, teens via a tax-funded smartphone app can locate free condoms without walking and free clinics where they can receive prescriptions and medications, of course, all without parental consent, and on it goes. And the Plan B pills distributed in public schools now without parental knowledge, and on and on it goes. So again, friends, you got to ask whether or not this is an education in the fear of the Lord. Is this an education? Is this a bringing up of your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? That's all I'm asking. I'm just asking you. I'm not telling you right now. I'm just asking you to just make a rational decision relating to this using the principle of God's word as found in Ephesians 6:4. Make that decision yourself. We're not trying to curtail liberty on this program. We try for the most part not to do that. Perhaps a time or two we have walked over the edge, but now we're challenging parents on this issue. Now, the education of your child is a major issue. It's a major concern. And I think this ought to be discussed and not swept under the carpet. Now, I understand why churches, not all churches again, but a lot of churches want to sweep this one under the carpet. And they will tell you there's no real difference between a school, a public school that teaches Islam but no Christianity, no fear of God, no prayer, and a lot of sex ed at fifth grade, seventh grade. There's no difference between that form of education and an education, a Christian education that is taught in the fear of God in a Christian school or a home school. There's no essential difference between those forms of education. And we're never going to say there's an important difference between forms of education, because we don't want to offend anybody, and we certainly don't want to barbecue a sacred cow.
That's right. And so if you take a look at what's being taught in the schools today, in the public schools today, and you are a Christian, I think it's incumbent on upon you to take them out. It's time to move them. They're not going to be the missionaries there. They're disciples.
Okay, you don't want to bind consciences on this one, Steve, but they need to do it on the basis of. So if they're going to take their kids out of the public school, it has to be on a rational decision made by the parents based upon the principles of the Word of God. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
And I think that every single pastor in America ought to say amen to that. I'm not sure they would. But this is a major issue because I think a lot of pastors and leaders are saying this is not a major issue. Education is not a major issue. It's not a major issue that your children are raised in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not a major issue that your children understand knowledge as rooted in the fear of God. It's not a major issue that your children are stumbled by the wrong kind of teaching or the wrong worldview or the wrong form of indoctrination in homosexual sex. And that's not really a big issue. It seems to me that it is, according to Jesus, when he says, if you stumble one of these little ones that believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. As I read that Matthew 18:6, Steve, I can't help but think, that's a major issue for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds like major issue talk to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? If you were to say that, if you were to say, you know what, if you do something like this, then I'm going to come at you and I'm going to put a weight around your neck and I'm going to drop you mafia treatment over the side of a boat and you're going to drown at the bottom of the deepest sea. If you said that, I would think, wow, Steve's pretty passionate on that issue. You know, that seems like that's important to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus did say that.
It seems like the issue is important to Jesus. And that's why we're talking about it on this school year. As we enter into the 2015-2016 school year, be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty. The Presidential Forum and the Presidential Straw Poll. Your family, your church's future hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio as we talk about education. And I consider education to be important. I think the Word of God bears it out as important. If the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is an important doctrine in the Word of God, then friends, I think we have to conclude that the discussions related to education are important, and we need to bring these things up. We need to be discussing them amongst one another on a fairly regular basis. And again, not to bind the consciences of parents, but simply to challenge parents to make the right decision. And that includes the issue of Christian college. You know, it's interesting that World Magazine has been discussing this policy statement that the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities sort of refuses to take on the issue of homosexuality. It's interesting that the CCCU has been trying to avert a split in the organization. And they've been doing it by holding off on making any policy statement concerning the issue of homosexuality. And homosexuality has been on the rise in the Christian college for a very long time. In fact, my uncle, I have an uncle on my father's side, who was convinced of taking a homosexual lifestyle upon himself when he attended Wheaton College in the 1960s. So this issue has been around in these colleges for a very, very long time. Wheaton College more recently, as you know, had a lesbian guidance counselor as part of their staff for a period of time. My understanding is she has resigned. But again, these colleges are really being pressed. This is a test for them as to whether they will take a biblical position on this issue, largely because homosexuality is such a politically important issue. It is a socially dividing issue. It is the salient sin of the day. It is the sin that seems to be taking the entire nation down, and it is the sin about which there will be a fair amount of persecution of Christians, and a lot of Christians would just rather not be persecuted. Thank you very much. So, you know, that's, I think, the reason why these universities are tested on this issue as much as they are. And as you read on another story, it appears that other universities are poised to leave the CCCU. Yeah. I would like the CCU to issue a statement on this, though. I think it would be important for them to in faith and courage, stand up and say, this is still an abomination. This is a sin against God. And this is a sin for which Jesus Christ died.
Yeah, and because they haven't done this, there's been a couple of colleges, namely Eastern Mennonite University and Goshen College, are going to start hiring faculty that are in same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships. Yeah. And that's why some of these other universities are saying, look, we're not going to be part of this if this is what it's going to end up happening with some of these other universities. CCCU needs to take a stand on this, and they need to do it now.
Well, CCCU had recommended moving EMU and Goshen from full members to affiliates, a decision the council said 75% of its members supported in full or in principle. So don't you get a little squishy feel there, Steve?
Yeah.
Because you say, you know, we're going to move you to, you know, you can be part of us, but maybe not quite as part of us as you used to be.
Kind of like a civil union.
75, yeah, civil union with colleges that support civil unions and homosexual marriages. Yeah. And 75% of the board, that is participants, were going, yeah, we're on board with that, meaning that there was something very squishy going on with the Christian colleges. In fact, at some points, Christian parents have said that with their grown children, it is oftentimes easier and better for them to send their kids to secular colleges than to compromising Christian colleges, just simply because these compromising Christian colleges are not in full battle mode. They tend to be compromising, and when they're sending their kids off to an engineering degree or a nursing degree in some mainstream secular college that still doesn't acknowledge the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom, but they'll tell you they don't acknowledge the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom, there is a much more defined dividing line between that which is good, that which is evil, and those kids go to those colleges fully armed to do battle. Now, again, we're not binding consciences as to your choices of Christian college or secular college, but what we are saying is be discerning. Understand your children. Understand where they are, how prepared they are to get out there and do battle in the war of the worldviews before you get them out there into the secular college or the Christian college. And the Christian college can be much more risky. And I think that's effectively what this article from World Magazine is telling us, as EMU and Goshen voluntarily left the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, averting a likely split, meaning that the CCCU did not have to make an immediate decision on this issue of homosexuality or issue a policy statement that would be very biblical on that particular issue. Well, my friends, these are the changes going on in America today. And with America slipping into apostasy, and right now even evangelicalism is moving its way down into apostasy, I think we as Christians are really going to have to be on our guard, and we must be men and women of significant faith. And I know this is very hard when you're faced with battle, when you realize that the political winds are blowing against you and a lot of your friends are going to abandon you in the lurch. You're going to have to approach this with great faith. You're going to have to engage the battle of faith. As it turns out, the just will live by faith. The just will walk by faith. The just will do war by faith. And we're going to have to engage this life by faith. Steve, way too much fear out there. I find with Christians so much fear. They're so afraid to offend that they inevitably will compromise the faith away because of this fear. If they had faith in the Lord, if they could step out of that boat and walk on water, then I think they could take on these issues without this squishification that seems to be happening almost inevitably with so many of our friends, whether they're evangelical colleges or whether they be evangelical churches or what have you.
Yeah, Oklahoma Wesleyan President Everett Piper, who is one of the more recent colleges to withdraw from the CCCU said that their reluctance to make a swift decision on this sends a message of confusion rather than conviction.
Yeah.
And so all the squishiness that's going on is causing confusion, and God is not a cause of confusion. Mm-hmm. He is there to give this definite message, this convicting message, of what is right and what is wrong. And if you're not going to follow that, then you're just going to cause confusion. That's why you said, you know, it's better to go to a state college who at least tells you they are anti-God, anti-Bible, rather than go to a Christian college that says, oh, yeah, we're for the Bible, we're for all of this, except for these things, except for this.
Well, Ken Ham did the survey of Christian colleges and already compromised, and what he found was that twice as many liberal arts colleges and Bible study departments, twice as many Bible's department heads and liberal arts department heads believed in old earth evolution versus the science department heads. And it wasn't because the liberal arts professors and Bible professors know more about science than science department heads. It's because liberal arts department heads tend to be liberal. And something we got to remember is especially when you're talking about liberal arts colleges, you're talking about colleges that for the most part haven't brought in a sola scriptura perspective on liberal arts. These colleges have done it somewhat in the area of science thanks to the creation ministries and the impact these creation ministries have made, but they haven't reformed the liberal arts departments, and that's why the next generation of Christian liberal arts students tend to be more liberal generation by generation by generation, and denominations become more liberal generation by generation by generation, because the Christian colleges themselves haven't seen a biblical reformation happen in the liberal arts departments. And that's why I wrote my book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and took on liberal arts, the philosophies, and the literature that has corrupted American liberal arts colleges for the last 400 years. If you want to salvage something of the faith, I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian Faith, merely an attempt to encourage Christian families to be more discerning and Christian literary students to be more discerning when it comes to literature. And oh, by the way, our brand new textbook is out. So now we hope to reform liberal arts in the area of high school and early college studies in liberal arts colleges with our new Worldviews in Conflict study series. And this is just released. It's a 700-page, four-color, glossy-page textbook along with a teacher guide. And you can get it at our website, generationswithvision.com or kevinswanson.com. This is really our first attempt in the history of our ministry to radically reform the area of liberal arts and hopefully preserve some of our brightest students who want to take on liberal arts. Sadly, many of them are corrupted and have for the last 150 years or closer to 200, 300 years in Christian colleges, because there hasn't been a strong antithesis brought in the area of literature between a biblical way of thinking and the greats, the great authors, the greatest of the writings produced by the great empires over the last number of centuries. I think it's time to reform, to radically reform the area of liberal arts, and this Worldviews in Conflict study, I think, will help to that end. We've got to change the curriculum. Believe me, Steve, I've been part of the homeschool movement for a long time, and I haven't seen much in terms of Christian curriculum that brings that level of antithesis into the liberal arts classroom that Ken Ham, ICR, and others have brought into the area of science. It's time to radically reform the area of literature, and that's why this Worldviews in Conflict course that we just released, and by the way, Master's Books is helping us. We're partnering on this product, and I think we have the potential of turning the world upside down for the Lord one more time, especially in the area of higher education. Now, this textbook was written for 12th graders and early college students. So it's for both. And I'm hoping that Christian colleges will start radically reforming their liberal arts departments starting today.
Yeah, you ought to write a book on, you know, faith and education and what maybe some of the early fathers spoke of on education.
Well, no, I did that.
So. Oh, that's right. You
thanks,
did.
Thanks for the softball. Yeah. I just smacked that one out of the auditorium.
No, maybe no, was, keep the faith or something like that.
Keep the faith on education. Yeah, keep the faith on education. Kind of gives a little bit more philosophy.
Yeah.
From 2,000 years of wisdom on the area of education. You might grab a copy of that as well. If you're interested in education, certainly if you consider this to be an important issue for your family or for your church, be sure you equip yourself with what 2,000 years of the greatest counselors in history have written on the issue of education. Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.